You're listening to the Addicted to Fitness podcast, brought to you by Elemental Training Tampa. Now, here's your hosts, Nick and Shannon Birch.
Thank you for stopping by and checking out this week's episode of the Addicted to Fitness podcast. We really do appreciate it. We're going to get into several different health and fitness topics today, and to let you know what those topics are, I'm going to throw it over to my lovely co-host.
Well, thank you. So we're going to be jumping in. We're going to be talking about your recent nutrition certification. Congrats to you.
Thank you.
And then also a nice discussion on the recent updates to the USDA dietary recommendations. Something I think everybody's probably familiar with from like when you're a little tiny munchkin to today, you kind of would expect them to change, but have they changed that much? That's the question we're going to be talking about.
Mm-hmm. Before we get into those, we're going to talk about our training for the week. And specifically, first, we're going to talk about ETT training. Really great week of training. Everybody was able to make their sessions, which always great, you know, especially this time of year when it's brutally hot outside. Everybody still made their training sessions and completed them. I'm super proud of those guys. One thing in relation to ETT training that I wanted to speak about was us getting on Snapchat. Good idea or a bad idea?
This is a great question. And anybody who knows me probably knows that I've been after him about this for a while now. And I think people need to share their feedback on whether or not they think ETT should get onto Snapchat. I am a proponent, clearly in the four category. I think it would be sweet to see what you are up to and get other people excited about all the freaking amazing things you're doing.
No, I agree. I it's not that I don't want to. It has nothing to do with that. It just seems like it's just another kind of... I feel like I do a pretty good job on social media. Trying to, you know, put out content for there, whether it be Instagram or Twitter and Facebook too. And I'm just like, oh man, another one I got to get out?
Yeah, but like, I will say, like, I was the same way when people started asking me about Snapchat. I was like, freaking A, another damn thing I have to do. But I have really gotten into it because it is different than Instagram. Like, there's only so much you really want to share that you're doing in a like, you know, days worth of time on Instagram. You share more than a couple of posts and people start kind of tuning you out. Same thing with Facebook. Twitter, there's just so much volume. But Snapchat is awesome because like you build these little stories. They only last 24 hours. So it's not like you get this ridiculously overwhelming amount of content to catch up on. If you don't get to it within a day, too bad, it's gone.
Yeah.
But if you're somebody that's like, oh, I'm just curious to see, like, you know, what other people are doing, what's going on right now, it's really entertaining, and they have some fun friggin' filters and features that are really fun to play with.
That's cool. Yeah, I've seen yours too, and it is fun, and I can see where it could be, you know, a good asset too. And I like the idea of creating like daily stories too.
Yeah,
that's something that interests me. I mean, you and I, we watch vlogs on a regular basis, so yeah. These are almost mini vlogs, which I appreciate. Which I like the idea of. It's just following through and doing that on top of other responsibilities too.
The other thing I would say, and if anybody out there is a Snapchat user advocate, please back me up. You don't really have to do it every day.
Okay.
Like I don't do it every single day, but like your name shows up with updates when you have new content that you're sharing. If you don't have new stuff, you don't show up. And as of right now, at least, hopefully knock on wood, there hasn't been any changes to like, oh, well, only the really popular people are going to show up. Chances are people aren't following a gazillion different Snapchatters. Maybe they are.
Right.
But I think especially for like, you know, your clients and just people wondering what you're up to, I've been ordered to Snapchat myself when we go to like upcoming trips and things. So I've been demanded to provide Snapchats.
All right. Well, I guess that settles it, though. Then, ETT is going to be on Snapchat.
Yes.
And also, in other ETT news, we just got done a group run and stair climb down on the Tampa Riverwalk.
Mm-hmm. I can't feel my legs.
Yes. So I know for all those who are not Tampa residents, it's a nice little runway for down in downtown Tampa for running, biking, general fitness activities. And we actually made it all the way down to it connects to the convention center where there's several flights of stairs where we were able to run some stairs, did some body weight exercises, and just got a good overall aerobic workout in.
Yeah, I think it was a great way to start off the weekend, too. I know not a lot of people probably think getting up at 8 o'clock and going to a run at 9 is something they really want to do on a Saturday, but if you have, like, whether you're in Tampa or not, if you have some, like, free group fitness classes or workouts in your area, like, look for some. Because they are a great way just to start your weekend off. It kind of forces you to get out, be a little sociable, but then you get a really great workout in, and it's different. You know, it's not just working on a machine in a gym. I think it's just a really positive start to a weekend.
Yeah, you get to get outside and experience, you know, soak up that vitamin D, which is so important, which I learned recently was so important. Yeah. But before we get into that, I want to talk about our training for the week. One thing that I started recently was challenging myself to do 100 kettlebell swings a day.
Whew.
You guys can check it out. I put the video on Instagram, our Instagram and Twitter, the handle ETTampa, ETTAMPA. And I love the kettlebell swing. It's really a total body exercise. But I'm finally learning really how to do it correctly. And it's really changed it for me because it really changed the whole entire exercise. So I'm going to be doing 100 of those a day, trying to do it for 30 days. We'll see what happens, but that's the goal. So that's probably one of the biggest updates for my fitness this week.
So really quickly, what did you change in your technique that was you not doing it correctly?
When I was doing it originally, I was probably bending my knees too much. Uh-huh. I was using my knees, you know, incorporating the bending of the knees almost like a squatting action too much, which is incorrect for the kettlebell swing. It's more of a hip hinge. So you are actually more similar to a deadlift than a squat action, if to kind of give it a little relation to some common gym exercises. I was doing that because the main action is a hit hinging at the hips.
Yeah, that hip thrust.
Yes, pushing the hips forward and pushing them back. That's really the key of the exercise. There's several other keys. I found a great article on Twitter put out by Men's Health? So I can't remember. It was one of the Men's Health Exercise magazines, excuse me. And the article was by Pavel Tatsulin, who is essentially the guru of the kettlebell swing. He brought kind of Russian kettlebells, the system, to the United States, and he is really the go-to source for kettlebell technique. He has a company, Strong First. I don't know if he started the Russian kettlebell system or whatnot, but he's been interviewed by Tim Ferriss. Great interview. Check out that podcast. I highly recommend it. He's really, really smart and has a lot of knowledge. So that's something I'm going to try to do on a daily basis, see if I can go 30 days straight.
That is a damn good challenge. Mm-hmm. I wish you luck, sir.
What about you? What did you get into for exercise this week?
I crushed it.
Oh, crushed it.
I had a really bad week last week and started off this week just completely determined not to repeat. And I knew I had a lot of things going on in my calendar, but all the more important reason to make time for working out. So I did a 5 workout week, which is my goal. And not only did I do 5 workouts, I finally got back to spinning. I did some serious leg workouts to the point where I had to take my rest days because my body was so sore. And that, I know that sounds almost like masochistic, than the fact that I'm like, yes, I hurt so good. But it felt amazing, and I love that feeling. It means that I've done something. You know, it's not the painful hurting. It's the muscles that you've broken down and that are rebuilding. You know you've done a good workout when you feel that. So, yes, I did have to take my 2 days off to recover. And, yes, my legs have, like, no strength or energy in them today after a very long week of working out. But so happy to have made that. I feel fantastic.
Yeah, you went from polar opposites from one week to the next.
I did.
Which is good. Like I said, well, we've always talked about the importance of rest. So it might have been good to have that off week. I know mentally for you, you didn't like it. You were disappointed. But your body at least got to recover so you could come back, hit it hard this week.
Yeah.
You know, so it actually might have been a blessing in disguise, really.
Yeah, I do think I was, overall, I also felt a lot more positive. And that's, for me, like the being sore and, you know, all of that's great. But the mental clarity and positivity that I get from working out more regularly is what I really do it for.
Yeah.
I felt fantastic this week.
Well, that's good. I'm glad to hear that. You know, I know you, that's, we've mentioned it before, how that kind of, that's your meditation is
yes.
Vigorous exercise. So,
yes, indeed.
So I can't, you know, I can't fault you for that. But maybe, like, I'm glad, maybe you got re-energized last week and took it, you know, really, really hit it hard this week. But that's awesome. So glad you got to do that. And now we're going to kind of get into my recent recertification, personal training certification, which included the nutrition certification.
Yes, because now he's going to randomly be telling me what to eat.
So my personal training certification is through NASM, National Academy of Sports Medicine. Every 2 years, their trainers need to recertify, and that includes taking continuing education classes. And I opted for a class called Fitness Nutrition Specialization. It basically went into more in depth about all the ins and outs of nutrition, explained all the macronutrients, you know, protein, broke down, you know, molecules, broke it down to the molecular level of our macronutrients, you know, proteins, fat, carbohydrates, you know, how they affect the body, what part of your body needs that certain macronutrient the most. Then they got into micronutrients, you know, they got into water, they got into vitamins, they got into non-essential, they got into minerals, non-essential minerals, you know, what fat soluble vitamins opposed to water soluble vitamins. I mean, really.
A lot.
Yeah, I mean, it was a ton of information. And the delivery system was awesome too. I did self-study online. So it basically had an online textbook for you, and then they had online PowerPoint slide, you know, each chapter they had slides and kind of a presentation for you, and then they had quizzes too after each chapter.
That's helpful.
Yeah, and then you could take the online test, you could take the test right online and get your certification, which was good. I know not as involved as some other personal trainers who did, you know, the 4-year collegiate program in exercise science, but I'm slowly working my way there. You know, that's definitely something in my future, trying to get another bachelor's, yet another degree in a science field.
Because I already three is not enough.
So, but this is something good for, not only for to have recertified me as a personal trainer, but also get more information about nutrition, which is what I really, really want to focus on as of late, because you guys know I talk about it ad nauseum about how important nutrition is to the epidemic that we're facing in this country of obesity. So proper nutrition is something I'm trying to relay to all, not only my clients, but everybody, anybody that'll listen. And there was a lot of great information. One thing I was, you know, kind of, as I was going through during the studying process and, you know, doing the review process, I was thinking to myself about, you know, the different things we need to focus on when you and I, you know, decide to have a child, what kind of diet or nutrition I'm going to need to focus on when you get pregnant. Because that's something I was thinking about, learning about, you know, some vitamins and minerals that are pregnant women are maybe be deficient in. Or so kind of like folic acid is a big one.
Yeah.
And iron is a big one, especially for women.
Mm-hmm.
So learning about that stuff, and it kind of applied not only to my, you know, to my life as a personal trainer, but also my personal life, you know, with mm-hmm. us down the road. So I really enjoyed it, and I thought it was great. Like and already mentioned how you can absorb it. I'm really. Some people I know have trouble with online classes.
Yeah.
But it's a good way for me to learn things. So I'm very easily self-taught.
Yeah, and it was funny because as you're going through these courses, you know, you'd be working away on the computer, and then I'd hear a, "You need to eat more folate. Are you eating more folate? Do you eat enough iron?" It's like, you know, shouting across the house, like, these random questions and, like, it is because I'm a female. Obviously, I've been taught these things, like those basics, like you need to eat iron, you need to make sure that you get enough calcium, all of these things. Now, granted, I don't know exactly whether I'm eating enough of it. Probably not, but mm-hmm. I do know about those things and like how important vitamins and minerals are to producing another human being, but mm-hmm. also just the unique composition for females. So, but it was hilarious because you would just shout out these random questions and comments as you're like learning them, like, "Oh my gosh, are you eating enough iron in your diet?"
No, that definitely happened on several occasions with different different examples, because as I'm learning about it, you know, from I know we've already talked about this, but I think we both need to go in and get some blood work done to see what our, you know, what our mineral levels are, our vitamin levels are, see if we're deficient in anything specifically. Excuse me, getting a little choked up. Because I haven't done it in a few years, and I don't know if you've done it. It's
been a few years.
Yeah, so that's something I think we need to get on to, I want to share that with people too, because I want to see what I need to do to maximize my nutrition. So I really enjoyed the fitness nutrition specialization. Really glad I got it. And there's a couple things though. They take a lot of information for recommendations from the USDA, you know, kind of the what the federal government recommends as far as nutrition.
What does the USDA stand for? United States Dietary
Department
Association?
Department of Agriculture, I believe.
Oh, it's the Department of Agriculture?
Yeah, I believe so. Yeah, right there. United States Department of Agriculture.
Huh.
Yeah.
Oh, I always thought it was like a specific like dietary group. Mm. Interesting.
So, I want to talk about that a little bit more, because there were recently some updates to the USDA dietary recommendations.
Food pyramid?
Yeah, my pyramid has been gone. The food pyramid has been gone for a long time. Now it's called My Plate. So My Plate, actually, they have it online. It's an online tool where they give you dietary recommendations based on your caloric need and exercise habits. It's pretty good. It's easy to use. You know, somebody who just needs some basic guidance, I think it's beneficial. But still, they still have the tendency to recommend, or in my opinion, over recommend grains and kind of under recommend, even if that's a phrase, or, you know, under recommend fats.
Well, and now here's just a question, because looking now, knowing that this is the United States Department of Agriculture.
Mm-hmm.
These are the people that grow our corn and our grains, and don't they have a vested interest in promoting that? Isn't this somewhat immediately biased?
Yeah, it's definitely a conflict of interest, in my opinion. And I think we've seen that, you know, over the, you know, past 30 or 40 decades, really. 30 or 40 decades.
Yeah.
And like Shannon mentioned, I think it's direct conflict of interest, because they want to promote their product. And yeah, I know USD agriculture is just more than growing grains.
Yeah.
But the major crops that we grow in this country are corn and soy.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Those are grain products. So, well, soy is not a grain product, but, you know, I'm sorry. But, you
know. It's a vegetable. They right. They provide recommendations on that as well.
Anyways, There's good things. Let's talk about the good updates that the USDA has made.
Yeah.
Okay. Let's talk with that because I think they've made some good strides. Okay. What they've done, they're putting more emphasis on a greater variety of fruits and vegetables. And they said vegetables and fruit, which is good because I think we've already talked about more vegetables than fruit.
Yes.
Fruit, even though it has, you know, it definitely has tons of phytonutrients. Super important to development, especially in young people and women, or not women, but, you know, pregnant women developing with a child. I think, you know, you can overdo it for fruit. You know, a piece of fruit.
There's still a decent amount of sugar and carbs
right.
in but, there that...
Yeah, I don't want people to be afraid excessive. Of fruit. Because as far as it goes, it's definitely a health food compared to some of the other
yeah,
stuff.
Yeah, we're not recommending, like, Atkins where they cut out fruit.
No. I think fruit is great. I think that's a good kind of notion to put forth that more veggies and fruit, okay? Don't think about it. I shouldn't even have brought it up about the fact that you can have too much fruit because of the fructose in it. Just, you know, eat those two groups and yeah. you're gonna improve your diet. Now, and another thing which kind of goes along with the fruit is that they are recommending less added sugar, which is awesome. And that kind of ties into the fruit because a lot of people were getting their daily fruit intake through juice.
Oh, no.
Which is a bad idea. That's where you can run into too much sugar.
And not like, you know, juicing, but rather like fruit juice.
Yes. Yeah, even 100% fruit juice, it's like it's a super concentrated form. Mm-hmm. And you lose all the fiber benefits that actual pieces of fruit will have.
Yes.
You know, so, you know, the fruit juice, you know, I know I'm sure it's easier to pour a glass than to hand them a piece of fruit, but you need fruit for all the pieces. Actual pieces of fruit are beneficial.
Whole.
Yes.
Holistic benefits.
Wholesome
of fruit.
Food. Yes. Whole foods. Okay. Now, one whole food that I don't really recommend so much is the whole grains. Okay. There's a recent article I just saw talking about the benefits of whole grains. Whole grains opposed to refined grains, yes, are good. All right. And I'm not going to tell. I know I've talked about NSNG. We've had Vinny on here. I'm a huge fan of his. He says no sugar, no grain. But I don't want to promote a totally, grain-phobic agenda.
Yeah.
I think some grains are important. You know, I think the intake of some grains are good, especially because in the grand scheme of things, they are a cheap alternative. You know, because, I mean, a loaf of bread, in some instances, is cheaper than, you know, buying a ton of vegetables and things like that.
Right.
You know, or even, like, a nutritious piece of meat, you know. So I think whole grains, they have more nutrients opposed to refined grains. And if you're wondering what that is, basically think about whole wheat bread and white bread.
Okay? Versus Wonder Bread.
Yeah, exactly. So I don't necessarily agree with the amount they recommend for grains.
So, just to be clear, are you saying yes to whole grains or no to whole grains?
I think if you're going to eat grains, you should have whole grains.
Okay.
Now,
But not in the quantities that they are outlining here.
Yeah, I don't recommend their recommended. I don't recommend their recommended.
I don't recommend the recommendation,
yeah,
sir.
Yeah, their recommendations amount per day is pretty extreme, in my opinion. And another thing that they're still afraid of is fat. You know, they even talk about, they say less saturated fat in your diet, even though the information I've heard from credible sources. Multiple credible sources, Nina Teicholz, who wrote Big Fat Surprise, Robert Lustig, Gary Tobbs, I think there was I just listened to a podcast and a guy named Mark Hyman, and they all talk about there's no real concrete evidence about that dietary fat can have a negative effect on your health.
Yeah.
So, it's the one thing that really kills me is that I've been talking to my mom about this, who actually just got her PhD in education. And she does a lot of education for new parents and child care providers. She teaches parenting classes. That's one of her things that she does. And one of the things they have to do is they get the most recent updates on nutrition recommendations for these, you know, different groups, either parents or child care providers. She sent me a link for the most recent recommendation she got. And I was looking through it, kind of already mentioned some of the stuff we were talking about earlier, you know, greater variety of vegetables and fruits, more whole grains, you know, more protein options, that's good, less added sugar, obviously great. One thing they were talking about, they got into the milk recommendations.
Yeah.
They talk about for 1-year-olds, so for like, you know, young children, they recommend whole milk. So milk that has the fat, the total fat profile.
Do I see low fat or fat free milk recommended for kids?
For children age 2 to 5 years old, they recommend unflavored, low fat, or fat free milk. It says not they recommend, excuse me, I shouldn't have said that. Must be served to children 2 to 5 years old.
Holy moly.
And then they go on for adults or 6 years or older adults. It says unflavored, low fat, unflavored, fat free, or flavored fat free milk must be served to children 6 years old and older and adults.
So forget the fact that whole milk probably has a lot of the good things that developing bodies, I don't care what child age you are a growing body at that point. Like, forget the fact that there's fat in milk. The low fat to no fat things, I mean, that you're stripping out a lot of beneficial, like, nutrients.
Right. And there are just a process in that they refortify, they add nutrients to these, the fat-free stuff, which, I mean, it seems counterintuitive to me when you have an option that already has some nutrients. And it's so, they give whole milk to 1-year-olds, but they won't give it to 3-year-olds. And I don't get it. I mean,
I understand that.
You know, the fat is important. Vinny said on his interview, the worst thing that happened to fat is that it's called fat.
Yeah.
You know, and then we talk about Ansel Keys' contribution to demonizing fat and how much of an a-hole he was and how he was in love with his own ideas. And we're slowly but surely we're allowing fat to get back into our diet. But then you come out with this, USDA, they change their dietary recommendations every 5 years.
Sheesh.
So it just happened last year, and this is the recommendation.
That's
I'm not,
bad.
Like, I know I don't know it all, okay? I'm listening to people that have way more information than I do, and the information that I am getting from them is that the idea that fat is detrimental to your health is wrong.
Right.
Right? The more and more we listen to books like Grain Brain, Why We Get Fat, they're telling us that it's the grains that are really causing diseases. You know, my mom I got her an Audible membership for Christmas. I gave her Grain Brain, and she immediately changed her diet. And she just got her PhD. And she sent this to me because she said she's so frustrated that these are the recommendations that they're giving to child care providers and parents.
Yeah.
But I don't want to fault the USDA because they're trying to do their best. You know, they're not necessarily, but they're also, it seems that they're kind of trying to satisfy some of the interests.
Yeah, well, they
have influenced them.
I think saying that they don't have an agenda with their recommendations is fair. And I also think that typically when you have large governmental or institutional type guidelines, they're typically years behind the most up-to-date you know, research and facts. Because I think everybody who's lived at least 2 decades in this world has been around where at one point this was considered bad for you, and now it is considered good for you, but within moderation. There's always like a conditional extra to it. So people immediately come out saying fat is bad, but well, yeah, well, fat in great amounts can be bad. But now we're learning that fat in controlled amounts in whole foods is good for us. Again, like it all comes back to the fact that they're whole foods, but the USDA and the things that they're working on are years behind. Like they're not taking any of the recent studies into fact. It's just, they're so far behind everything that the recommendations and baseline for what they push, they have an agenda and they're out of date. Like immediately they are out of date. And that means that they have to be taken with a grain of salt. You know, like there's some good things in here, but they shouldn't be considered the pure truth. And other opinions and reliable resources should be factored in. And I think that's like for this, there should be some wiggle room that child care professionals and, you know, leaders of typical, you know, like certain groups, they should have some freedom to make recommendations and incorporate more recent findings. Having this be the, like, the law, the rules, that doesn't seem fair.
Right. And I think for educated people like us, we can see the recommendations and adjust accordingly to what we feel optimum at. Like, I know I mentioned the My Plate thing earlier. It's an online resource. You can go in and effectively put in your whatever you think your caloric need is on a day-to-day basis, and they can spit out to you what your daily macronutrient breakdown should be. I did it. I believe, you know, with my kind of my activity level and my resting metabolic rate, I need about 3,000 calories per day to maintain my weight. Just because I have a very physically involved job and I'm already active, so my metabolic rate's higher than normal, I need about 3,000 calories to maintain my weight. This is they call it daily food group targets, all right? There's 5 groups they have. They have grains, veggies, fruits, dairy, and protein foods, okay? So for veggies, they say 4 cups, which, you know, I don't know if it's cooked or whatnot. We didn't specify, but I think that's a good recommendation. I think I eat more than that on a day-to-day basis, mm-hmm. Which I recommend too anyways. Fruits, they say 2.5 cups, which actually might be a good idea because I don't think I eat enough fruit. You know, I think sometimes I get a little, sugar phobic. But I think, you know, especially this time of year where I'm outside and it's so hot and I'm burning them all.
Great. Fresh seasonal fruit this time of year.
So that's something I think I need to get better about is eating fruits. Dairy, 3 cups. I'm pretty close to that between the yogurt I eat on a day-to-day basis. You know, if I put a little cream in my coffee, some hard cheeses. So I think that's a good recommendation. Protein, 7 ounces of protein food, which isn't bad. That turns out to be almost close to 200 grams, which is probably good for someone like myself. But the grains recommendation, 10 ounces of grain a day. Now, to give you guys some reference of what that looks like, I broke it down to what 10 ounces of grains are on a kind of meal basis. Mm-hmm. Breakfast, if I ate 1 cup of cooked oatmeal, that's 2 ounces, okay? At lunch, if I had 2 sandwiches, 4 slices of whole wheat bread total, that's 4 ounces. Then if I had a snack, a mini bag of popcorn, that's 2 ounces. And then 1 cup to cook rice for dinner, that's 2 ounces.
So that sounds like probably on par with what I think a lot of Americans eat, though.
Yeah, I mean...
But I know, like, for you, even for me, that sounds like a lot.
Yeah, that in my opinion is a lot. Is way too much grains.
Yeah.
And I want to reiterate this. I do not want to badmouth grains, especially whole grains. What I've understand, what I learned in the fitness nutrition, they have a lot of beneficial facts. They have way more nutrients than refined grains. So people who have maybe don't have access to other types of certain, you know, healthy foods or can't, or whole grain food might be a good option for them. But in my opinion, 10 ounces for someone like me a day.
That's a lot.
I mean, I just feel like what I know about, you know, insulin resistance and things like that, it could lead to problems.
Well, and another thing I don't think these standards pay attention to is the fact that a lot of people today are born with food allergies, meaning that food, you know, gluten, lactose, all these things, they have sensitivities where their bodies just cannot digest them. So then you go and you recommend an excessive, you know, for that person, you're recommending this huge amount of gluten-filled foods. That person is going to spend the first 10 years of their life sick. You know, I mean, like, I was lactose intolerant pretty much all the way through high school. And I finally was treated for it. But, I mean, the amount, I couldn't drink whole milk. Like, I couldn't do it. That was back when they were recommending whole milk still. But I couldn't do it because my body couldn't digest it.
Right.
It's like, so there's things like that. Every person is going to be slightly different.
Right.
And have their own physical kind of restrictions. And that needs to be taken under consideration, which is why I think it's super important to try to obviously expose younger children to a lot of food and things like that. But if you do have food allergies or sensitivities, take that under consideration and work that into your own dietary recommendations.
Right. And USDA does recommend that. They say for people who have sensitivity to, say, like milk or lactose, they say, you know, having milk alternatives, almond milk, cashew milk, or coconut milk is a viable option as long as they're nutrient-dense forms of alternatives. Yeah. It's important me to say this still, you know, I want people to be able to use this option because I think it's important. But like you said, take it, you know, with a grain of salt, you know, you got to be a little bit more educated and know the possibility of what sugar can do. It looks like we're starting to get away from added sugar to diet, which is good. I really like that idea. But grains, they can have the similar kind of, your body can kind of treat them
similar.
They're high glycemic foods, okay? So if I recommend any type of diet, primarily wholesome foods, and when I say wholesome, whole, you know, think about things in their whole, true form.
Not processed.
And stay away from sugars or foods that are on the high glycemic or, you know, can have a high glycemic response. And those foods you can, you know, search for, you know, glycemic index online, and they'll give you more education about what that means and what and what foods are which, you know. So those are recommendations that I have, and like I said, I was super brain dead. I fell asleep. What happened? Blacked out. Sorry, I blacked out. I love the fitness nutrition certification. That's just one of many I'm going to try to pursue because I want to learn more and more about nutrition, because nutrition and counseling is something I want to get into or start offering as a service to ETT clients. So I'm going to keep learning and trying to get up to date with the most accurate information that there is out there.
That's great.
Well, I think we told them a bunch of information. Hopefully some of it was accurate.
Is anybody's head spinning?
Yeah, I know. We kind of got off on a tangent there a little bit. But, you know, nutrition's important to me, and I think it's important to all of us because it's a real issue we're dealing with in this country. So.
And it is absolutely your foundation for health.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
Yep. So, all right, guys. I think that's all we got for you for this week. We really appreciate you guys listening. I know I say this every week, but I think it needs to be said. Please rate, review, respond. We love the feedback. And make sure you subscribe, too, on iTunes.
Yeah, click that little subscription button. It makes it a lot easier. They just get downloaded into your phone, your iTunes, whatever you have. And definitely keep us posted on what you want to hear about and any questions you might have as well.
Yeah, some good news. I finally, or maybe Shannon convinced herself, cryo.
Oh my gosh, yes, coming up in a future episode.
Yeah, we're going to take a little field trip. We're going to take the Addicted to Podcast on a little field trip to maybe to a local cryo place to do some cryotherapy. So that should be coming up soon.
Pictures will be great.
Oh yeah, well, we're going to podcast right from there.
Oh boy.
Oh yeah. All right, guys, that's all we got for this week's episode of the Addicted to Fitness Podcast. Thanks for stopping by. If you want to learn more about Elemental Training Tampa, check us out on Facebook or go to our website, elementaltampa.com. You can also follow us on Instagram and Twitter under the handle ETTampa. Please rate and review the podcast. Your feedback will help us get better. Thanks. Thank you for stopping by and checking out this week's episode of the Addicted to Fitness Podcast. I'm going to start that again. I got a little tongue-tied there.